want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John, chapter number 5. The 1 John, chapter 5, and I want to read verse 19 for our text this morning. I say this in preface to the message. I'm convinced that one of the great needs of our day and one of the great needs of our time is for people to be informed to what the Word of God tells us and to be instructed in what God teaches us in His Word. And as we live in a society that we shall see in a moment is filled with wickedness, it becomes more and more important day by day. This morning, as we look into the Word of God, you pray that God's Word can go forth in great power this morning and be used in our lives and in our hearts. John, writing this epistle, and he wrote it for many different purposes, but probably the greatest purpose is for us to know that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the blessed assurance of salvation. And as he begins to close out the epistle, he says this, and he said, and we know. That's one of his favorite expressions throughout the book of 1 John, we know. We have an absolute certainty. We have great confidence, and we know that we are of God and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to have your word and to share your word. Lord, tonight as we look into it, we pray that you might take it and use it in our lives and in our hearts, that you might give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that, Father, we can do that which needs to be done here today. Well, we praise you and thank you tonight. Today, for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Lord. And it's in His name we pray, amen and amen. There's a great war that's taking place around us. It's not the war in Afghanistan. It's not the war that's being raged in Iraq or Syria. But this morning it's a warfare that is universal. That's transpiring throughout and around the globe wherever you might go today. It's a war that is not a physical war. In some ways, at some times, and at on occasions, becomes a physical war. But this morning, it's a war that is not just a physical warfare, but it's a spiritual warfare. We're engaged in a spiritual war this morning. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote the church at Ephesus, said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He wrote to young Timothy as he was encouraging him and as he was inspiring him to stay on the firing line for God, that he would be a good soldier, that he would wage a good warfare for the Lord Jesus Christ. As he neared the end of his life, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've been engaged this morning in a warfare, but I've fought a good fight. He said that he told the Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. Brother Peter, he talked about a war against the soul. John here in our text this morning tells us that the whole world, the entire world, lieth in wickedness. Now, that's a pretty good expression when you begin to examine it this morning. that this world system in which you and I live, that this morning, this place that we call home, lieth in wickedness. It's dominated by the prince of the power of the air. And so this morning I want you to think about some things, because I think that it's become necessary for us to be warned. It's necessary for us to be informed. It's necessary this morning for us to have all of the weapons that we can have as we battle against this spiritual enemy this morning. You see, we are engaged by an enemy, a spiritual foe. John said we are surrounded by wickedness. If you're a Christian today, if you are a born-again child of God, you're living in a world that lieth in wickedness. You're surrounded by wickedness this morning. It's a world that's filled with sin. A world that's driven by the desire to condemn and damn the souls of men. And this morning its commander-in-chief is Satan, the devil, the dragon, the destroyer. This morning, understand that he is a reality. We live in a time when you hear very little about Satan, but Paul talked about the wiles of the devil. He talked about the devices of Satan. And the scripture warns us over and over and over again about Satan this morning, about Lucifer, the son of morning, who fell this morning and determined that he would be higher than God. And how that the angels that followed him in the rebellion against God and become the demons of this world. And they're the prince of the power of the air this morning. And these hordes and this wickedness that's around us this morning is controlled and dominated by Satan. That's why Paul tells us that we're not fighting necessarily just against flesh and blood. We're not just waging a war this morning against those who oppose us as we can see. But we're this morning waging a war that's being controlled from behind the scenes by the arch enemy of God, Satan himself. And he is a reality today. He's alive and well on planet Earth. This morning he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for souls to devour this morning. He's looking for people who he might consume. And as I look around the world, he's devouring souls day by day. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking and he's on the lookout, walking and searching today. Understand that. He's seeking who he can deceive. He's the great deceiver. And he deceives men, and he deceives women, and he deceives boys and girls. And we're living in a world of deception. If I were to be asked to characterize the day in which you and I live, I would call it the age of deception. I would also sometimes even call it the age of self-deception. We want to be deceived. Satan this morning is the great deceiver. He started in the Garden of Eden by deceiving Eve. And he's not changed one iota down through the ages. And he's still the great deceiver, even in this moment of time, and he's deceiving people day by day. He's seeking to condemn. He wants men and women and boys and girls not to give their hearts and their souls to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from hell this morning, but he wants to condemn them to the place where he's going. We sometimes think that Satan's in charge of hell, but understand he's not in charge of hell today. God's in charge of hell. Satan this morning is headed there this morning, and he's going there, and he's going to be there for an eternity. And he wants to take everybody that he can with him. He's got a bus that's loaded and he's unloading it day by day, and the Bible says hell enlarges herself. Satan this morning is a reality, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's walking this earth looking to devour the souls of men, to deceive men today, to condemn them to a place called hell today. And he has pawns and he has puppets this morning who are there and being used by him, sometimes not even being aware that they are being used by the devil himself. The Bible says many this morning are blinded to the gospel, whom Satan has blinded to the gospel. They're blinded to the gospel this morning. They're blinded to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no idea today, as Bruce talked about a moment ago, how great it is to be able to see. I can think of no other physical ailment this morning that could be probably any worse. No other handicap that could be worse than not being able to see. I think that might be the worst handicap a person could endure, is blindness. Because you'll be dependent upon people, you'll be, it must be to me unfathomable how bad that could be. But I want to tell you this morning, we're living in a world of people who are spiritually blind. They're blinded to the gospel of the Son of God. They're blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're pawns and puppets in the hands this morning of Satan himself. And they think many times they're doing the world service. Jesus said that there'd come a time when they would kill you thinking they were doing the world a service. You see, many times these people this morning whose eyes are filled with darkness, but they think they're really the enlightened ones. They think today that they can see better than you and I this morning. But they're the puppets of Satan, and they're doing the bidding of the devil himself this morning. This past week, if you received the Baptist Record, the paper of the Mississippi Baptist Convention, you'll find today that there were some stories in there that were nearly unbelievable when you begin to read them. In San Antonio, Texas, they passed an ordinance that prevents any bias toward perverts. If you make any statement or you don't this morning allow them to do anything they want to do in your place of business, this morning, you're in violation of the law in San Antonio, Texas. They passed this law in spite of great opposition to this ordinance. Even the city's attorney could not answer questions about it. But if you're an office holder and you make some kind of off comment about this, you can be removed from office. If you have a business that refuses to accommodate them, you can be fined and your business closed. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, a man and his wife ran a photography studio. A person came in seeking their services for her wedding. Then she said it was a same-sex ceremony. And the lady explained that her and her husband were Christians. They did not believe that it was right, that it was against biblical principles and biblical standards, and they could not photograph her wedding, her same-sex ceremony. She found another photographer and then filed suit with the state of New Mexico against these two individuals. It went all the way to the state Supreme Court in the state of New Mexico, and they ruled against the couple and upheld the fine. I want you to listen very carefully to what State Supreme Court Justice Richard Boston said. Now listen very carefully to this. The Constitution protects the rights of Christian photographers to pray to the God of their choice and follow religious teachings. But he noted that belief and practice are not the same thing. In other words, you can believe it, but you can't practice it. You can say, I'm a Christian, and that's okay, but you can't follow it. Isn't that sad? It's a war, folks. Walmart, the largest private employer this morning, has now announced that same-sex couples will receive the same benefits as heterosexual couples. I think I'm going to boycott Walmart myself. You know? We're in a war. And it's the puppets of Satan. I don't think people really see. They're blinded. They think they're enlightened. They think we're helping these people who are saying that we are born to be different. We can't do anything about it. And so we need the help of the state. We need the help. And so we're going to reach out and make laws and make it all right and force you to accept them. And they're blinded to the gospel of the Son of God this morning. We're in a war. Understand that today. We're in a war for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And Satan is doing everything that he can to condemn them to hell. Our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, we're living in a time that we're seeing a battle for their souls, folks. Understand that. I'm not here today because I'm trying to be ugly. But I'm telling you, we're in a war for the souls of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Somebody said, who wants the children? I'm going to tell you who wants the children. Satan wants the children today. He wants them to be raised in a home without parents. He wants them to be raised in a home today that says it's okay for same-sex marriages. He wants them to be raised in a home today that says everything that God has in His Word is wrong and antiquated and should not be taught or practiced. He wants them raised in a home without discipline. He wants them raised in a home today without love and harmony. He wants them to be raised today to succumb to pornography and all other kinds of sin. Satan wants your children and he wants your grandchildren and he wants your great-grandchildren today. And it's an all-out war. We need to be understanding today that we're engaged in this war and it's getting worse each day. We're surrounded by wickedness. And he has preachers and prophets. Paul, writing the church at Corinth, said the messengers of Satan are transformed into angels of light. That today they are standing in pulpits and filling pulpits today. Jude said that there are certain men crept in unawares. Paul said they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're standing in pulpits today across America. And they're doing everything they can this morning to damn the souls of men. They care nothing about the souls of men. They're blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're blinded today. They're living the blind is leading the blind to destruction. How sad it is today. But you know, there's overcoming power. In Revelation chapter number 12, I find that these are some great words. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame. That means they prevailed. They were victorious. We can be victorious in this war. The battle's already been won. Jesus said it's finished. But for you and I to prevail today, we must first of all have the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, there's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power in the blood. We have redemption from our sins. Jesus paid it all. And you see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ overcomes and prevails this morning. Thank God for that. Amen. The blood of Christ is what saves the souls of men. Right. Never, 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 never doubt that. We live in a day and age when the blood is hardly ever mentioned. But understand this. Almost all things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That He washed us from our sin in His own blood. This morning we are saved. This morning peace has been made with God through the blood of the cross. Amen. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ today that men are saved, that their sins are forgiven, that their souls are redeemed. Right. And the only way you'll ever overcome Satan today is start with the blood of the Lamb of God. Yeah. It saves the soul. Hallelujah today. And when it saves a soul, thank God, today it changes a life. You see, it redeems the person. We're changed by the blood. And we can be victorious this morning in a world that's dominated by wickedness today through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see today, people that are dominated by Satan, who are blinded by Satan today, can't plead the blood. Thank God for that. We need to preach the blood. The blood of the Lamb of God is what washes men from their sins, what saves them and gets rid of the blindness and brings them into the light and transforms them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame. They prevailed. They were victorious today. Not because of their good works or their willpower, but they were victorious because of the blood of the Lamb. And He said the word of their testimony. The word testimony means to make a statement based on personal knowledge. I read that and I could give you many different illustrations of different people. But the one that always comes to my mind is over in John 9. And the blind man was there and Jesus took care of his blindness. The Pharisees went to him and say, "Don't say this man's a prophet, he's a sinner." And the man said, "I don't know a whole lot about theology. I don't know much about your doctrine." But he said, "This one thing I know, I was blind and now I see." That's a personal experience there, isn't it? You see, the greatest theologians today are not sitting in some university or some seminary or some Bible college, but the greatest theology today is found when I was blind but now I see. The word of their testimony. He had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. When you meet Jesus Christ in reality and He becomes your Savior, I want to tell you it's a life-changing and a life-altering experience today. I read recently about a church in Korea during the communist takeover there, and one day some communist soldiers bust into the sanctuary where they were having a service. The commander of the soldiers went and grabbed a picture of Jesus that was hanging on the wall and threw it down on the floor. Lined them up against the wall and said, "All right, you spit on the picture." People began to spit on the picture. A little girl came and knelt down and began to wipe it off, and she said, "You can kill me, but I'll not dishonor him." They marched her outside with the three people who had been before, and three shots came. The leader of the military marched back in with a little girl and said, "Those three weren't worth even trying to convert to communism if they'll fail so easily." She was willing to die for Christ. You see, that's what it says. "And they love not their lives unto death." Be willing to stand for Jesus. When a Supreme Court judge says, "You can believe it, but you can't practice it this morning," I think we have to stand, and as with Peter and John when they stood before the Sanhedrin Council and said, "You can do what you like, but we got to obey God rather than men." We have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. We got to be willing to stand for Jesus even in the face of death, folks. I don't know what may happen down the road. I have no idea what may come. But I know we're surrounded by wickedness today. I know that it's not going to get any better, because Paul said that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse. I know we're fighting not against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places today. But I thank God today that even though we're living in this world, there's the overcoming power of the blood of Jesus and the word of testimony today. Amen. This morning, I simply want to inform you. I want to make you aware of what's going on in the world around us today. I want to hope and pray, and I hope you join with me, that we pray for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. That we pray for each other, and that we do all we can to stand for God in these days. The world needs to see a Christian. The world needs the gospel. Let us stand firm. Let us be doers of the word and not hearers only, and obey God rather than men, and be what the Lord wants us to be, and we'll have prevailing power over the enemy of wickedness. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. Lord, I ask you to take this very simple message, that you might use it for the honor and glory of him who loved me and gave for me. For all that you do now, we'll praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.